Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
I'm not a real religious person, but I'm somewhat religious. And I'm just wondering if God's telling us he doesn't want us to drill offshore because it sure is setting back offshore drilling.
I understand totally what George thinks and what other people think about marriage being between a man and a woman. And it's a real reversal, really, to accept gay marriage.
But you do.
But I think we could, yeah.
You ever heard the expression, someone's so heavenly minded they're of no earthly good? I always think that's such a bogus thing. It's the other way around. If you're heavenly minded, for the first time, you actually become of some earthly good.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
You know, there's a part of our regular sermon review process, our sermon diagnostic, that I don't think I've emphasized very much lately. We always talk about, when we review sermons here on Issues Etc., how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? I'll come back to that in just a moment. There's another part to it that I usually kind of stick on at the end that I think the sermon we're going to review in this first half hour of the program is an excellent example of, and that is diagnosis and remedy. What does the preacher diagnose as your problem? You know, if you hear a sermon and there's no diagnosis of the illness that is sin and its consequence in your life, you might as well stay home from church. What are you in church for if there's no diagnosis? Going to church is like going to the doctor. You go there because you have a problem and you need a remedy. So diagnosis and remedy. Is the diagnosis that your life is too busy, you're stressed out? And if that's the case, all you need is one of those fancy personal assistants. And Jesus, I guess, could be like a personal assistant to you, help you organize your life, be more efficient, get things done, take care of all the business you need to take care of. As we review sermons, one of the things we need to listen for is sin and grace. Jesus says, repentance and the forgiveness of sins preached in his name to all nations. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon. We're coming to you live. It's the 1st of June. We will be reviewing an installation sermon. That is when a pastor comes to a new congregation. He is installed, and that's often marked with a service and a sermon. The preacher on this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Mark Buteau. That's the first half hour of the program. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for the second half hour. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, God Leads in Cloud and Fire. We'll be talking about the Exodus. Then, in the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will talk about that new Gallup poll on physician-assisted suicide, abortion, gay and lesbian relationships, sex outside of marriage, having a baby out of wedlock, all these issues. You'll be surprised where people fall according to that Gallup poll on those issues. Then Dr. David Adams kicks off a summer series we're doing here on Issues Etc., Women in the Scriptures. Today we'll start with the first woman, Eve. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. You can Twitter us at issuesetc, or in advance of that conversation with Dr. David Adams on Eve, you can leave your questions or comments on Eve at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. You'll see a picture of Dr. David Adams there. Just leave your question or comment right next to that. Okay, our sermon diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? For it to be a Christian sermon, it has to mention Christ. And that's only the first part of the diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a tally of how often you hear Jesus, specifically Jesus, mentioned. The second part is, if Jesus is mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? That is he the one driving the verbs in the sentences that make up this sermon? Is Jesus the subject of these verbs? That is he the one doing the action? Are you being told about what Jesus has done, is doing, will do? Or is someone else the subject of the verbs? In order for it to be a Christ-centered sermon, it needs to talk and speak and testify to Christ himself. And then the third part, if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, what are the verbs? I mentioned before Jesus as your personal assistant. He just keeps your schedule straight. He makes you better able to do what you're already able to do, but he makes you better at it. That's not a Jesus you find in Holy Scripture. It's one you find in a lot of pulpits nowadays. Jesus who will help you organize and make your life more efficient and run more smoothly and be more fulfilling for you, but that's not the Jesus you find in Scripture. The Jesus you find in Scripture is driving all sorts of different verbs like suffering, dying, redeeming, saving, forgiving. Look for those verbs. And then again, as I pointed out before, when you're done, you can step back and you can ask yourself, what problem did the preacher diagnose in me? Like a doctor, a good doctor who can figure out what's really wrong with you. And then, what remedy does the preacher give you? If he only diagnoses your problem as being unable to deal with the stress of your everyday life, or just to improve your already pretty good life, you don't really need Jesus to do that. You certainly don't need Jesus dead on the cross to accomplish that. You don't really need Jesus at all. But if your problem is sin and death, then the only remedy is the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, with that, we get to an installation sermon, which is, as I said before, on the occasion of a new pastor coming to a new congregation. Often it is marked by a special service to welcome the pastor, to install him, to talk again about what pastors are to do among the people of God. And this sermon was preached at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Campbell Hill, Illinois, for the installation of Pastor Alan Kornacki. And the preacher is Pastor Mark Buto.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. Today is a day of celebration. First of all, because it's Sunday, and Sunday is the day that our Lord rose from the dead and threw down the powers of death, devil, hell, the curse of the law. That's a day to celebrate. And then he sent his apostles into the world to preach that gospel. And so this is a day of celebration because the saints of St. Peter Campbell Hill are receiving once again their own pastor to do this marvelous work of delivering to them, to you, the good news of Christ's victory over death. Now, you will have your own pastor to deliver to you the preaching of Christ's death and resurrection for your eternal salvation. It's a day of celebration for Pastor Kornacki, who has longed for this day to once again be able to serve the Lord as a pastor of God's people. And he is celebrating because he will have the honor and privilege of delivering to you the holy gifts of Jesus Christ. It's even a day of celebration for the vacancy pastor, who can now go back to one day of work instead of two every week. Tonight, we hear from our readings not only what it is, the reason which the Lord gives you a pastor, not only what it is you are to do as their pastor, but how it is you are to receive the pastor that Christ gives you, and how it is that you are to receive and welcome the people who have been trusted to your care. When our Lord rose from the dead, having conquered sin and death, he sent his disciples out to preach to all the nations. That's our ascension gospel reading that we just heard. He sent them and said, "Go into all the world, to the ends of the earth, and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world to take away your sins. He went to the cross and suffered pain and torture and a bloody death, so that your sins might be wiped out and blotted out of the mind of God for all eternity, never to accuse you again. He rose victorious on Easter, trampling sin and death underfoot, leaving your sins in the grave, and ascended triumphant to rule heaven and earth by his love and his grace. And he wants to make sure that that forgiveness goes to the ends of the earth, that the forgiveness that he won on the cross is delivered, that the salvation that he accomplished is handed out and bestowed upon all people, even people in Campbell Hill, Illinois. And so he sends Pastor Kornacki to do that job. The reason your Lord has sent you this pastor is to deliver what Christ has won for you. He has sent this man to baptize you and to remind you of your baptism, to teach you to live in your baptism, to know that you are always a child of God by your baptism. He has sent this man to absolve you of your sins and declare to you the forgiveness that says your sins are no more. He has sent this man to feed you with the holy body and blood of Jesus Christ, his own flesh and blood, for the forgiveness of sins and for life and salvation. These are not gifts that you can get on your own. They are given to you by your Lord and Savior. And they are given to you through this man that he is installing and placing in this church as your pastor, to be your shepherd and to care for you. Now pay attention, Pastor Kornacki, because the Lord's words teach you what your calling is.
When we come back from this break, we'll hear what Pastor Buteau has to say to Pastor Kornacki in this installation sermon. Now, notice already in this sermon, that is an occasional sermon. They call them occasional sermons because this isn't necessarily what you would hear every Sunday. It's a special occasion. There's a place for those. But already, he has proclaimed sin and grace, repentance and the forgiveness of sins, in the name of Jesus, to waste no time. When we come back, we'll hear more of this installation sermon for Pastor Alan Kornacki at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Campbell Hill, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup hole if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul. Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy presents its annual symposium on catechesis in Waukesha, Wisconsin, June 16th through the 18th. This year's theme, the first article of the Creed. Presentations include catechesis on the first three chapters of Genesis, the fatherhood of God, Christ and creation, atheism, evolution, and the Christian faith and life. Register online at peacesussex.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 1st of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor Mark Buteau at the installation of Pastor Alan Kornacki at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Campbell Hill, Illinois. I said before, this is an occasional sermon. That means for a special occasion. And part of an installation sermon's function is to remind both pastor and people of what it is God has put them together for, why it is God calls pastors to congregations. It is all about repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And as we listen to this sermon, I want you to listen carefully to how, although it is an occasional sermon about the installation of a pastor, Pastor Buto, as he preaches this, always ends up talking about what Jesus is going to do among these people and with this particular pastor.
Pay attention, Pastor Kornacki, because the Lord's words teach you what your calling is. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. God is giving you this holy calling for this purpose, to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments to these saints here in this place. You are not here to try out your own ideas. You are not here to tell them what they want to hear. You are not here to make up cool and amazing things that will impress and astound. You are here to deliver what Christ has won for them, to be the faithful shepherd who gives out his gifts. You are put here, Pastor Kornacki, to baptize, to apply the water and the word, which is the saving of their souls. You are to put them in mind of their baptism and teach them to live in their baptism so that their lives learned by their in their lives they learn to glorify God, to love and serve their neighbors. You are to hear their confessions. You are to hear the burdens of their souls, the burdens and things that bear down upon them. And you are to bear those burdens with them and delightfully and joyfully declare to them, the Lord has taken that away. Your sins are forgiven. You are to stand here in the place of Christ and announce that the gates are unlocked and heaven is open because they have a Savior. Pastor Kornacki, you are put here to feed them the holy body and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was the price of our sins, and which gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation. You are to give it to them because they need it, and it will nourish them, even as you are to withhold it from those who have not yet been prepared to receive it. You are put here to be a faithful pastor and to deliver the Lord's gifts. Everything you do, your preaching, your teaching, your visiting, your calling upon the members, you're seeing the sick and the shut-in, being in the hospital, in your study, wherever it is, whatever you are doing as the pastor of this congregation, it is all for this purpose, that they may believe and be saved. Not because you do it, but because the Lord has called you to be the one through whom he gives those saving gifts, by which he saves them and keeps them in the faith. So you have heard why it is that you have a pastor, and why it is that the Lord is giving you a pastor. Now, how shall you receive this pastor as he comes to you? In the epistle from today, the seventh Sunday of Easter, St. Peter, the namesake of this very congregation, writes these words: have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. You are to receive Pastor Kornacki with such love that covers even his sins. Our Lutheran confessions interpret this passage and remind us that unless pastors and people put up with each other and overlook some silly faults once in a while, there will never be peace in the church. And so you are to overlook his faults and his sins. Oh, you are to receive him as the mouth of God. For when he speaks Christ's words, you are to hear him as if he were Christ himself, for that is why the Lord has sent him. But people will also say, but Pastor Kornacki is human too. It's worse than that. He's a low-down, dirty, rotten sinner. I know him. And worse, a Yankees fan. When he speaks God's word, hear him. And when he blows it, forgive him. When he forgets an appointment, when his temper gets the better of him, when he is impatient, when he's forgetful, when he can't remember your name 3 Sundays after he met you still, when he does those little things, when he shows that he is a sinner with his faults and his sins, then love him. Cover up those sins. Treat him as if they do not exist and he has not done them. Love him by covering up those things. Never hold against your pastor the things that you would not want him to judge you for or hold against you. Your turn. Pastor Kornacki, these are God's people. Love them and cover their sins. They didn't go to seminary. They don't know Greek and Hebrew. They don't know those fancy theological words that I can't pronounce either. They forget their catechism. They forget God's word. They step in it. They blow it. They fall into sin. That's what God's people do. When they do, love them. Cover their sins. Do not come down from on high, flying out of this pulpit like a high and mighty Mr. Authority figure because you wear the collar. But love them. Call them to repentance, indeed, according to God's word, gently, pastorally, but covering their sins. And when their feathers are ruffled and when they ruffle your feathers, cover that too. And learn never, ever speak ill of God's people. For they are God's people, and they are Christ's. And when he beholds them, he sees them as spotless and blemish-free. No faults, no imperfections, no sins. And you are commanded to see your people this way also, as Christ sees them. Therefore, never ever speak about them as if they are something less than what Christ has made them. Then when your frustrations and your anger and your impatience gets the better of you, then find your father confessor and hear for yourself the good news that he died for you too. And thank God that Christ's death even includes the clergy. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this day you are receiving your shepherd who is put here by God to give you his gifts. And you got to work, man. It's a new job. Receive him in the love of Christ. Welcome him with open arms. Love them, not in a touchy-feely, feel-good way. Love them with the love that covers their sins by delivering them the forgiveness that Jesus won for them. Pastor Kornacki is God's proof and his pledge that he will not leave you or forsake you. For he's put this man here in this place so that you will always have the comfort of the forgiveness of sins given by his word, water, body, and blood. All that Christ has, Pastor Kornacki, all that he has for these people, he has for you to give them. It's a day to celebrate indeed. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
I know what it's like. You go to church on Sunday morning and you're glad to see the pastor's there. I mean, most of the time, it's good to have a pastor. Scripture says that there is one thing required of these servants, these stewards of the mysteries of God, as Paul will call them. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. You know, I imagine that Paul could have chosen all sorts of adjectives to end that sentence. It's required of stewards that they be found, what? Successful? Efficient? Motivational, inspirational, all those things that we think our pastors are there for today. But Paul doesn't choose any of those adjectives. He says it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Faithfulness. What does a faithful pastor look like? He says, it's the one who gives
This is Jesus himself. It is the steward who gives the other servants their food at the proper time. That's what the pastor is there for, to feed God's people with God's word of both law and gospel, repentance and the forgiveness of sins, sin and grace. And that's what it looks like to have a faithful pastor. It's not necessarily something that looks successful or motivational or inspirational. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. I don't know if I truly appreciated this until I had the opportunity to switch places after going into full-time radio and step out of the pulpit full-time and in the pew most of the time. And then you really appreciate when you have a faithful pastor. You realize it doesn't make any difference how good-looking he is, how likable he is, any of those things. What do you want? What do you need Sunday after Sunday? You need a steward who gives the servants their food at the proper time, a faithful steward of God's word. You can read the text of Pastor Buteau's sermon under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we'll talk about the Exodus with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Planned Parenthood is offering what I call a vending machine abortion. Women in Iowa go into one of their facilities expecting to see a doctor. Instead, they talk to an abortionist miles away via a computer monitor. He tells them about the chemical abortion RU-46. With a push of the button, a box then opens and dispenses the deadly drug. Cecile Richards, Planned Parenthood president, says they plan to expand vending machine abortions throughout Iowa and across the country in the next 5 years. It's an effort to circumvent a shrinking number of physicians who are willing to become abortionists. In the process, women are left to fend for themselves at whatever emergency room they're able to locate should something go seriously wrong. And with this drug, it often does.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.